Good morning, church. Please turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We will read together verse 19 this morning. The title of the message, Promise to Provide. Promise to Provide. Those who have the pew Bibles, is page 982. Just one verse. Verse 19. It reads as follows. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Let us bow together in prayer. Our faithful Father, our precious God, here we stand as a people before you, O God, in need of your grace and your mercy. Father Lord, we come before you as a people, O Father, willing to hear from you. Father, speak to us this morning. Encourage us as a church. Help us to grow, O God, in Jesus' wonderful name. Help us to concentrate, O God, regardless of the chaos that is happening around us. But Lord, give us concentration and help us to hear you as you speak through us. We ask, O God, to move with us, to grow us as a church, to establish us as a people here in Olivet. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say Amen. The letter to the Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul while he was under house arrest in Rome. His hope here is to come to this church and visit them. His hope is to be released so that he come and bless this church again. But in reading this book, in reading this letter, we soon realize that the Apostle Paul recognizes concerns in the church. There are concerns that he attends to. But before he does that, the Apostle Paul actually encourages the church about himself. He encourages the church that his imprisonment advances the gospel. Did you hear that? He's encouraging the church that his imprisonment advances the gospel. Of course, the Apostle Paul is not enjoying prison, but he rejoices in the grace of God. For the fact that he's in prison, the gospel is able to expand out there. People are able to hear that there is a man who is in prison because of Jesus Christ. He is in chains because of the gospel. And for that reason, God is able to spread out his word to the world. So he rejoices on this grace of God. Paul writes as a pastor. He writes as a compassionate pastor to this church, this young church. He calls this church into unity. He warns this church against false teachers who were already within the church and they were also outsiders disturbing the church. But the theme we are going to look at this morning is Paul's thanksgiving to the Philippian church for their gifts. Paul writes to this ordinary church. He writes to these ordinary people. A church not sticky rich, a church which does not have members who drive big cars, but a people willing to dig deeper in their pockets and give sacrificially towards the advance of the gospel. So Paul writes to thank them for sending gifts in his trouble. And he says, for that reason, God's peace will guard the church. His peace will rest upon the Philippian church. And friends, as we draw nearer to our Thanksgiving Day, it is of great importance that we are also reminded of being thankful. We need to be thankful of the things that we have, the things that we have as individuals and the things that we have as a church. And I hope that on that day we'll be able to be thankful to God, because God has blessed us as a people. We must be reminded that all that we have comes from above. And if we will have more than what we have, it must also come from above. But indeed, we continue to be a people in need. We continue to be a people who needs God's provision upon their lives. We are a church in need. We need a permanent stand where this tent will be erected. We need to build in the future. We need God's hand in our lives. There are job seekers among us. There are spouse seekers perhaps among us. And so on. We are a needy people. Which is why then this morning, friends, I'm bringing you an encouragement. Actually, a promise from the word of God. The Apostle Paul says here in verse number 19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory." This is encouragement first, Bazalana, because firstly, it's God who provides. God is the provider. I want you to get to that. That is an encouragement. God is the provider. Paul says, "My God will supply." It will be very helpful for you to look at your Bible as I'm expounding this text. He says, "God will provide." Did he say that? No. He says, "My God." That is, it's very important. He says, "My God will provide." According to Paul, God is his and he is of God. And according to Paul, God is in the business of providing for the church. According to Paul, God is in the business of providing for his people. And we also know that. This is a proven fact that God provides for his people. We can remember how God provided the material of building the temple of Solomon as we looked at it 2 weeks ago. God provided that material. We remember how God provided for Elijah after he slaying the false prophets of Baal. How did he provide for him? The Bible tells us that Elijah later on, he finds himself depressed and hiding in a cave because a king's wife sworn to kill him. He was there hiding and hungry, hoping to die. But God, the Bible tells us, he sent an angel. The prophet was provided for. The Bible tells us that when he woke up, he saw a hot baked bread. And he consumed that food. And that food sustained him for 40 more days. We know that this is a God who provides. We remember how he provided for the Lord Jesus Christ, his son, when he was in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. The Bible tells us that the devil came and tempted Jesus to turn the stones into bread. But Jesus actually threw a spear unto the hearts of the devil, if you will. Jesus says to the devil, "Go away, be gone from me, Satan. God alone is my provider." And that is proven later on as we come to verse 10, 11. The Bible tells us in chapter number 4 of Matthew, the Bible tells us that God sent his angels to provide for his son. The angels came to minister to him. That is the God Paul calls my God. You see here, Paul shows that he has a personal relationship with God. Paul has an understanding of how God operates in the world. Paul does not say, "Bazalwane, I pray that God supply all of your needs." It is good to pray for one another's needs. But Paul doesn't say, "I pray that God will supply all your needs." He speaks with confidence. Paul doesn't say, "I hope that God will supply your needs." No, Bazalwane. Paul does not hesitate on the promises of God. He knows that God is all sufficient to provide for his people. He has all that we need as a people. Paul knows that all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. And that is why, Bazalwane, we utter, according to the Bible, he says, we utter our amen unto him for his glory. In other words, we depend, we trust on the God who provides through Jesus Christ. The question is he your God? Is he our God? Paul says, "My God will supply." This is very important. Before you can even think of him as your provider. First, is he your God? Is he at the center of your life? Look closer at Paul's words. Look closer at Paul's statement. You see that he says, my God, there's a certainty there. Paul is certain about the God that he's speaking about. He's certain about what God will do. There's certainty. Then Paul wants to infuse the same certainty unto us even this morning. The same certainty on the God, a God who provides. He has been with God for too long. He knows the God that he serves. He has seen God's hand in his life. So he is confident that the church will also see God's hand. He says, I'm sure my God will provide. My God will not disappoint. I'm sure about that. He is the God who provides. He provides now and he will provide in the future. Check in your Bible. It says, God will. There's a word there, will. That word doesn't only give us a certainty, that word tells us the when. God will. As the Apostle Paul writes, God is able to provide for the church, but even from there onwards into the future, God is able to provide for the church. He says, my God will provide. My God does not disappoint. He speaks like the psalmist in Psalm 32 verse 25. Remember what the psalmist says. Let me read for you. The psalmist says there, I have been young and now I am old, yet have not seen the righteous forsaken and his children begging for bread. That is the words that the Apostle Paul has in his heart. As he encourages this church to trust in a God who provides. So it is quite obvious, Bazalwane, that God provides for the righteous who also provides for the children of God. So Paul reflects back. He looks back into his life. He looks back into his ministry as he was walking in this world. He remembers how much God has stretched his hand unto him. He remembers the many things that God has done. He remembers how God saved him when people stoned him. He remembers all that, but he's not writing about that at this point in time. What is in the center of his mind is the generosity from this church. The hand that gives from this church. He knows that God is consistent in his dealings with men. He has seen that in his life. So he says to the church, be encouraged. God also will be consistent in providing for you. He is the God who supplies all your needs. He assures the church that it is no way that the righteous will be forsaken by God. Paul does not say we won't want. Paul does not say There will be a time whereby we don't lack anything. Paul does not say we will not go through difficult times as a people. That is not what Paul is saying. Paul says the Lord will provide for his children and supply for his people. We'll get to that, the difference between the need and the want. Because Paul doesn't say God will give you all that you want. He says, God will provide all your needs. He says, Bazalwane, lift up your eyes. Think about the God, a better father than Abraham. Remember Abraham? He sent a servant to look for a wife for his child. That is a better father. Every father wants to see his children prosper. But God is better than that. Remember David? He's better than David. David, who left a throne, an inheritance for his son Solomon. But God is better than that. He is the God of heaven who upholds the universe in the palm of his hands. He provides for the needs of all creation. But at the center of his heart, there is a special place for caring for his people. That is the God that Paul is talking about. Remember how God provided his son. If you don't believe that is a God to provide, if you think that God will fail to provide your little needs that you have, remember how he provided his son when you were dead in sin and trespasses. The Bible says, when you read in the book of Romans, he did not spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all. Listen to this one. how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? In other words, if God was able to give us this high and important and bigger gift, what stops him from giving you lesser gift than what he already gave to you? That is the argument of the Apostle Paul. He says this is a God who is able to provide. Jesus himself proven the fact that he's a God who's able to provide. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Jesus promises something that the world cannot be able to give to us. He promises rest. The world cannot give you rest. The world can only give you stress. But Jesus says, I can give you rest. That is the God who provides. It is not difficult for him to provide for us as a church. So since he was able to give that big and high gift, what stops him from giving you lesser gift? The Bible calls him in Genesis 22 verse 14, it calls him Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. In other words, where there seems to be a mountain and a rock ahead of you, God is able to be there. Where there seems to be no hope, He is there. He is the hope of the hopeless. He provides for His children. That is the argument of the Apostle Paul. So your need will be supplied if God is your God. Your need will be supplied. If you don't believe that, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barn, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more importance, of more value than they are? Think about that one. God is able to provide for the little birds flying in the air. Will he not be able to provide for you as a people? That is the encouragement, the first one. God is the provider. Secondly, we look at the reach or the extent of his provision. In other words, how far will he go? How much will he give? Because if it's me, I can give you 100 rands, but maybe not a 200 rands. How much will he supply to you as a child of God? The Apostle Paul, look at your Bible. He says, my God will supply every need of yours. There is that word there, every. Some of the Bible says all. Every need of yours. So the provision is immense, my friend. It is sufficient for all your needs. The provision is big. God is able to fulfill the empty nest of your needs. God is able to fulfill the bucket that you have of your need. The word they supply in the Greek, it means to fulfill. Not just to supply, but to supply abundantly. That is the God he's talking about. God is able to supply to you all of your need. He is the self-sufficient God who lacks nothing. So the church, according to the Apostle Paul, the church has reached down deeper than their pockets and blessed Paul as one man. But God will reach deeper than the church can go and bless the church at large, one by one, all of their needs. But they've just blessed one man, Paul. This is a faithful, this is a loving, this is a kind God who's able to look at your gift, who's able to look at what you have and then bless you abundantly. God will open the windows of heaven. He will shower down blessings upon you. You will be blessed going in and be blessed going out if you will. That is what the Apostle Paul brings here. God is able to see it. He's able to see your gift and bless you. The Apostle Paul doesn't say your gifts open heavenly doors for God to bless you. That's why the Apostle Paul doesn't say, bring more gifts to me, God will bless you. No, your gift does not open heavenly doors. You don't give as much as you want to give so that God can see your gift and then open the windows of heaven. That is false teaching. That talk comes from false teachers. Paul doesn't say that. He says, God, as you give, will look at your gift and see the generosity and the heart that you pour as you bring your gift. Then he will bless abundantly. friends. To be specific, what gift, what is it that God will bless the church with? Just to be specific, God will supply their financial needs. Why do we say that? This church supplied financial needs to the Apostle Paul. So God will supply their financial needs. This is about finances and all the things that you care for. God will supply those things. This is not health and wealth prosperity gospel. This is the word of God. These are words that are given to us as a church to believe and to own. God will supply all your needs, financial needs. They were able to provide for Paul. Now God will provide for them. Paul says, those who sacrifice to the Lord will sacrifice to them abundantly. God will bless according to the measures of his riches. He will touch the lives of the people. He will bless not according to your measure. We need to be careful of that one. He's not going to bless you according to your measure. He blesses according to his measure. Why? He knows the heart. God can read the heart and discern uprightness from the heart. So he blesses according to his measures. He will give you more than expected, in other words. But he will not give you what will harm you. If I say he will give you more than what you expect, it doesn't mean God will just shower you with blessings, things that will harm you, things that you don't need, things that will stop you from coming to church, things that will stop you from praying, things that will stop you from being active in the Lord. No, God will give you things that you will be responsible for and accountable for. So, he says to the Philippian church, those who look at the kingdom of God as an eternal investment will receive an ample return. How do you look at the kingdom of God? What do you think of this church? Do you really see this church as a place where you can invest your own money in this church for the work of the Lord? Because the Apostle Paul says, those who look at the kingdom of God and invest in the kingdom of God, those who will hide their riches in heaven, God will bless them. God will supply their needs. I want you to remember the olive oil flowing out of the bottle of that widow as the prophet Elisha blesses her. Most of you know that story. It's in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. You remember that story? That Elisha encouraged the faith of the widow. He advised her to go and find empty jars from the neighbors, not two, not three. He says, go and find plenty empty jars and bring them unto me. Because you say, you do not have anything. I want to prove to you that God provides, God supplies the needs of his people. I want to show you the extent, how much God will go. What happened? The Bible tells us that when the widow came back, she closed the door. That is principle number one. She closed the door for her to receive her blessing. Friends, God will bless you privately, and the world will marvel. If you are faithful to God in your private life, God will bless you. We don't want to see you coming up with an envelope and running to the front and say, I've got my tithe or whatever. You need to give behind the scene. God is able to bless you. The Bible tells us that the prophet told the widow to start pouring the oil in the empty jars. She continued to pour and to pour. The oil kept flowing. And when there was no jar to pour the oil only stopped then. That is the picture of the God who provides every need until there is no need. Hear those words. Until there is no need. That's how much it goes. Until there is no need. But I must warn you, like I said, this verse doesn't say every want. It says every need. We are a people of many wants. I personally want a new car, perhaps. I want to get married. There are many things that we want as a people. I want new clothes. I want to see my children graduate. I want to see this and see that. Maybe I want to go to Disneyland. That's a want. God supplied the wants of his people, but they are not number one on his list. Only the needs of the people. Friends, we need a stand. What is the difference between a need and a want? A need is something that you cannot live without. We need a stand. We need food. That is a need, and so on and so on. So the Apostle Paul speaks about the things that we need, not the things that we want. We all want something. He says, God will supply your need. That is why it is very important, Bazaran, as a church, to know our needs and make them clear to the Lord. As we bring them to God, we need to evaluate if our needs, if they are legitimate needs. Because God will not fail us. As we know what our needs will be, we will first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does the Bible say? Then he will add all the wants. Start with the need, God will add even the wants. That is why we have most of the things that we want as well. Because the Bible tells us no one can have anything unless God gives to him. So we do not look up to someone. We do not look unto our own efforts for supply. We look up to God. God's provision alone is substantially greater than any man can give. Paul says, God will supply your needs. That is that word there, your needs. He's specific. He's speaking to the Philippian church. He's not speaking to the Roman church. He's not speaking to the Corinthian church. He's speaking to the Philippian church. And he's not speaking to one man. Although God provides the needs of individuals, Paul here is talking to the church at large. He says, God will provide your need. There we see, Bazalwane, the importance of unity as a church. There we see what I spoke about 2 weeks ago, the unity in worship. Paul says, as you continue together, as you motivate one another to do these things for the Lord, God himself will provide. He will go an extra mile for your needs, specifically yours as the church. The blessing of God will flow to the church and touch individual lives. That is what the Apostle Paul is saying. The joy of the Lord will become the strength of this church. God will be happy and they will be strengthened because they do in accordance to God's will. Friends, the God we serve is able to provide you work. These are the things we normally don't talk about, but these are the things that are true. The God that we serve is able to provide you work. The God that we serve is able to provide you with health. He has not promised that he will heal you whenever you pray, but he's able. He's able to provide you with anything that you want. He's able to look after your need, the need of your soul. Remember Psalm 23. It says, God is our shepherd. Remember when Baba Ras was talking about this psalm. God is our shepherd. A shepherd is someone who looks after the soul and also cares about the nourishment of the sheep. God is our shepherd. We shall not need or lack anything. He makes us lie in green pastures. That is why Paul is not just rejoicing in the gifts that they've given to him. Friends, listen to this. Paul is not only rejoicing in the gift that they've given to him. It is good to give him the gift, but it is something that Paul is rejoicing about. Verse 17, Paul says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Paul wants to see the maturity of the church. It is not about the gift. It's not about us giving. It's about growing and understanding the Lord, how he works. As the Lord blesses, I must bless too. Paul says, I rejoice as I see the church. It's maturing. The gifts were a sign of spiritual maturity. The gifts were tangible evidence of the grace of God working within their hearts. And that is what blessed the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was not blessed because he can count so many bags of mealy-meal or peanuts, whatever they were sending to him. That is not what blessed him. No. He sees, as he looks at the blessing, he sees maturity of the church. Are we a mature church? A church that strives to mature in that way? That is for us to search within our hearts. as we come to the day of Thanksgiving? Am I really going to give God and thank Him for what He has done for me, what He has been doing in my life? Am I going to show maturity as I bring everything unto Him? This church blessed Paul so much, not with the gifts, with the maturity that is seen in the gifts. Paul looked at the church and see a people who stores their gifts unto heaven, who store their treasures in God, so that God may rain it upon their lives. That is what we're talking about here. So what is the extent of His provision? How far will God go? Every need of yours will be supplied. That's how far it goes. Every need. Thirdly, let us look at the manner or the method by which God will provide. In other words, how is God going to do this? The Apostle Paul says He will do it according to His riches in glory in Christ. There are three things there. According to His riches in glory in Christ. You need to listen very carefully. So the Lord will do this in keeping with His riches. He will not take from His riches and give, but according to His riches, as much as huge the riches are in heaven, He will just put His hand, like a putting hand in a bag of seed, and just throw it. He says He will provide according to His riches. Paul then reveals that God has a storehouse in heaven, Bazalwan. A storehouse full of riches. So He will give a vast amount, as I was saying. He will give that generously. That does not mean, Bazalwan, that God, we will spoil you with riches. No, doesn't mean that. Like I said, He knows the need, but He provides the need. He will give you over and above you asked for. There is a verse that says that, actually, that God will give you more and above you ask for. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, God gives according to His great wealth, an incomparable wealth in heaven. He has unlimited funds to supply to His children as they seek to expand His work. Maybe I should repeat that. He has unlimited funds to supply for His children as they seek to expand His work. This does not mean, as I said, He will just spoil you with goodies. But He will give you enough. Enough than what you can handle. Listen to Psalm 34, verse 10. Here the psalmist comparing a life of a young lion and the life of the children of God. He says, a young lion suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lacks nothing. Why is he talking about the lion? Because the lion is one of the kings of the jungle. So the father of the lion is able to go out and seek for something to feed the child, but it doesn't depend on that lion. So the young lion can suffer hunger and want, but those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. Look at what it says. It continues to say, in glory. What is in glory? Normally, when we use that word in glory, we speak about heaven. You know, when someone, a Christian, passed away, we say he's gone to be in glory with God. In glory, here in this text, speaks of heaven. So the riches are in heaven. They are stored where God is. They are stored where thieves cannot go in. That's where these riches are. That gives us more confidence, Bazalwan, because these riches are at the disposal of God Himself. God is in charge of these riches, not the devil, no one else, but God is in charge. All that we need, all that will come from God, comes from heaven. He may use someone to bless you, but it comes from God who is in heaven. That is where the riches are. That is where our blessings are. In glory, where God is. He continues to say, not just in heaven, but also in Christ. So they are in Christ. In other words, Christ is the mediator of the blessings between God and man. The blessings will come through Jesus Christ. The blessing then, of course, will come to those who know God through Jesus Christ. The blessing comes through Jesus. In the same way that no one can come to God outside Jesus, there was no one who will receive any blessing, any good and perfect gift outside the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what this verse is saying. So it doesn't help to bring your gifts if God is not your God. And also, do not expect the blessings to come through any other channel. There is no prophet, there is no apostle, there is no sangoma who will open up heavens for you. The gift comes in Christ. So you will not go and give gifts to some man who will say, if you give to me, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. If you give to me, God will bless you. If you give to me, I will break the curses and claim back the things that the devil has stolen away from you. No. The Apostle Paul doesn't say, give to me. I will do that for you. I will break the curses for you. I will let the gift of God flow from heaven for you. No. Why is the Apostle Paul not doing that? Because the Apostle Paul is not a false prophet. The Apostle Paul is not a false teacher. The Apostle Paul is not a false apostle. Paul is not working for his own pocket. Paul is not working to build his own kingdom. Paul is not working to encourage other people to supply so that he builds what he calls his own vision. No. Paul wants to see God glorified. Paul wants to see Jesus magnified in the church. Paul wants to see the church maturing. Paul doesn't want the church to just pour gifts unto him. He wants the church to understand God. Understand God. Understand heaven. Understand Jesus. That's what the Apostle Paul wants. Paul says the riches are in Christ. They are given by Christ. That is why, friends, we need Christ in our lives. That's why we need Christ to understand God. We need Christ to come to God. In the same way, through Christ, the gifts of God shall be given unto men. Just like the life we have received from God, the life from the dead, it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. This has to encourage the church, Bazalwan. Why? Because Christ loved the church. Christ gave himself up for the church. The same Christ is now seated in heaven, ready to open the windows of heaven to shower blessing down to his people. If his people know God, and if his people understands heaven and understands him. And one more thing that is very encouraging as I was reading this verse is that the blessings are not actually dependent on the performance of a rand and a dollar. No. It doesn't matter how this world suffers. Christ's blessings are dependent on Christ, on nothing else of this world. He will bless you when everybody else is going through drought and storm. Paul understands that all things belong to Christ. It is the Apostle Paul who wrote in Colossians, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." In him all things hold together. The Apostle Paul understands that. That is the man then who is in charge of the blessings that comes to us. The one who created all things for himself. That is the condition by which this gift will come. That is the manner by which this gift will come. They will come through Jesus Christ. They will come from heaven. They will come from the riches of God. All things will come within the sphere of knowing Jesus. All things will come within the sphere of depending and trusting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. All things will come within the sphere of having a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why, friends, you need to build your hope and your confidence on nothing less than Jesus Christ, your righteousness. And then not trust this world and its folly, but wholly lean on Jesus Christ's name. Because he is the solid rock to stand on, and all other ground is sinking sand. But Jesus Christ alone is the rock of our salvation. So God will provide from heaven. He will provide through his Son. So what you need to do, you need to set your mind on the things on high as you give to the Lord. Fourthly and lastly, what we see in this verse is the prerequisite of his provision, the condition of his provision. Because there are people out there, they just read this verse and they jump around. God will provide all my needs according to his riches and glory. There are conditions, Bazalwane. There is a prerequisite. In other words, not anyone can just claim these promises of this verse. There's something that must be done practically. What you need to know is that this promise depends on the faithfulness and obedience in giving. I have said that already. But I just want to show you. Look at your Bible. There is a conjunction. There is a word that joins the preceding verses and verse 19. That word is and. A-N-D. And my God. He doesn't start by saying, my God will provide. He says, and my God. It means that the end joins the sentence, it joins the verse to the preceding verses. So we need to look at the preceding verses. What are the prerequisites? And my God will provide. So as you look at verse number 14, it says that the Philippians were willing to share in the troubles of the apostle. The Philippians were willing to share. That is the prerequisite. They need to share in the troubles of the apostle. They were always thinking and praying for him, if you read the Bible. That's another thing. They were willing to give their time in prayer, praying for the ministry of the gospel. So they understood that praying for people to have food caused you to stand up also and give the very same food to the people you're praying for. You cannot just pray that people may have food and you sit there, you fold your hands. Prayer doesn't make food. Prayer releases that willingness from the heart that you give. So they were willing to share. They were willing to partner with him. If you read chapter number 1, it tells you that you have partnered with me. In the same chapter, chapter number 4, in verse number 15, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. You Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered in partnership with me in giving and receiving except you. These people were giving. These people didn't see it as a loss to give to the missionaries. They didn't see it as a loss to supply the leaders in the church who labor for God. They continued to bless the Apostle Paul even when he was not in the church. He was in another church. The church needs to share the cost of church planting and missionaries or missionary work. That is what the verse tells us about this Philippian church. Their hearts were in the right place, and consequently that became the means by which God will bless them. Remember what the Bible says in Luke chapter 6 verse 38. It says there, give, it will be given to you by God. If you give, it will be given to you. What does the verse say? Let me read the verse in its fullness. Luke 6 verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put onto your lap, for with the measure you use it will be measured back to you. Good measures pressed down. See, I remember where I grew up. We used to go to the neighbor for maize meal. Mealy meal. Those days, you can just ask anything. Not now. But then they will take a 5-liter or a 10-liter bucket and put that maize meal. But then they will heat it down like this. They will heat it and heat it, and the maize meal will start to sink. And then you will add again and heat it and heat it. That is different than just a bucket whereby maize meal is poured in and it's full. That is not pressed down. God is talking about giving you something pressed down, overflowing. That is what. But how does it come? You give first and it will be given unto you. So the Philippian church met this prerequisite. They gave to the Apostle Paul. But I want you to know, Bazalwane, their giving was spiritual. Their giving was motivated by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their giving was inspired by the knowledge of Jesus. Listen to verse 18. Verse 18 says,
their sacrifice were acceptable and pleasing to God.
That is verse 18. And then you have, and my God.
Their sacrifice had to be pleasing and acceptable to God, and my God will supply all their needs.
Prerequisite is very important.
So their body, their mind, their soul was equally involved in the ministry of giving. Their body, their mind, their soul was equally involved in their act of charity. They were not just giving sacrifices. They were united. They motivated one another. Their sacrifices came from a joyful heart. Their sacrifices came from a prayerful heart, from the gospel-loving people. What is the prerequisite? Give, it will be given to you. So you cannot just claim this verse unless you meet the prerequisite. Christ at the center of your life. Is He at the center of your life? Friends, God is the provider. He provides according to His riches. He provides as a faithful God. He sees the heart and is pleased with uprightness. He provides through His Son. He provides from heaven. For that reason, the Apostle Paul says, your needs will be supplied. God will substantially provide for you in Christ. Know this God. Know where He is. How does He do this? What are the prerequisites? God bless you. Amen.
Thank you, O Lord, for being a God who gives to us, O Lord. A God who did not spare your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, O Lord, but you freely gave Him to us to be an atonement for our sins, O Lord. To be the one who will die for us, that we may be able to live, O Lord. We thank you that was the best gift you could give to us, O Lord. And if you gave us that great gift, O Lord, then surely you will supply our physical needs, you will supply the needs of this church, O Lord. You know the need we have for your stands, the need we have, O Lord, that we may see people coming into this place, glorifying you, O Lord. People coming into this place, O Lord, with hearts full of worship for you, O Lord. We pray that you may give to us this gift of salvation for the people of Olivet, the people that you have called us to. And, O Lord, you know our needs as well for jobs, our needs, O Lord, for different things that we need. May you supply them, O Lord. And we are thankful to be encouraged, O Lord, today, that you are a God that gives to us, that you are a God who will supply all our needs according to the riches in glory in Christ. We give you glory and honor, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good, that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.